see, this is on page 12. Let's look to the second half of page 12, which says why Catholics should read, pray, study, and obey the Bible, and we have 7 good reasons. And I'm sure you could give me a whole lot more, but we're going to start with these 7, and we're going to discover a whole lot more as we move throughout this year. Okay. The Catholic Church considers the Bible to be the highest authority for the Christian, higher than the council, higher than the Pope, higher than our theology. The magisterium, and when you hear the magisterium spoken about, that is the teaching authority of the church. The magisterium is and is meant to be by the Lord a servant of the Word of God. The Bible is the book of the saints, and the fathers of the church in the first 8 centuries of our church's existence taught the scriptures as the bread of life for Christian formation. We can read more about that in the Second Vatican Council. Those of you, when I think about the bread of life, I think of that beautiful song, you know, the bread of life that we sing oftentimes at the Eucharist. I think of preparing my children for their first Eucharist and how there was so much emphasis, you know, on the bread of life. So basically, what the church is saying here, the church may be saying something different here to you than maybe the word that you were raised up with, maybe the word that you grew up with. I know it's different from me. I grew up in a pre-Vatican II church. So when I was going to Catholic school and Catholic high school, we weren't encouraged to do this. Nobody ever told me this. In fact, what we were given, and I grew up in St. Dominic's, a neighbor of St. Ursula's there, was a little brown book, and it was Bible stories. Does anybody remember the little brown Bible story book? Okay, so there's a few of you went to Catholic school, got the, and that was a book of scripture stories taken from the Bible, but it really didn't encourage us and teach us to study and to learn the Bible. But we knew nice stories about the Bible. But we really didn't have at that time knowledge of the power of the Word of God that we were supposed to have but didn't, but we have now. And you know what? I think that's where the scripture that we heard this morning that said, you know, to put aside the things of the past, you know, no longer be saying, well, how come I didn't have it then? How come I didn't know it then? The Lord is saying, but I'm giving it to you now. And sometimes things aren't always as they should be. And I think that was one of those things back then, that it wasn't always as it should be, but it is that way now. And the church now is bringing it forward to us and teaching us and telling us. I always, when I think of the Bible, and I know some of you know this, the Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. So you can write that down. That's what the Bible is. It's our basic instruction before leaving earth. In other words, the Bible gives us all that we need to move through life in a way that is wholesome, in a way that is whole, in a way that brings us healing, in a way that brings us restoration, in a way that brings us the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is His love, His peace, His joy, patience, you know, gentleness, mildness, self-control, all of those things that we need. And the Bible brings that to us. And the church is telling us, yes, we want you to focus. The church leaders, the magisterium that we just mentioned, are saying that this is what we need to do, this is what we should do, and we're going to see all through this teaching and the other teachings of how it comes to us, you know, in as Jesus made flesh to us in so many of the sacraments. Amen? Okay. The Bible also does a number of other things. When we hold up our Bibles this morning, and I said, this is our confession of faith regarding the Word of God. So the Bible is not merely an account of church history or history of the Lord Jesus Christ as He walked the earth, but the Bible tells us, gives us a message about us. It's about you, and it's about me, and it's about us as church and the body of Christ, and about our families, because the Bible tells us who we are. Sometimes the world tries to tell us who we are, and we get clouded messages, but the Bible tells us clearly who we are, that we are made in God's image and likeness, that we are precious to Him, and that He loves us, and that no matter what we do, or how fall, how far we fall, that he is always there to lift us up and to draw us closer to himself. He tells us that in his word, in the Bible. So when we say, this is my Bible, I am who it says I am, that's what we're saying. That's who we are. That's who we are because that's who Jesus says we are. And you know, that's a wonderful thing when sometimes we hear so many other things about who we are. Sometimes we hear from people who are supposed to love us and care for us and tell us all good things about ourselves, and for whatever reason they're not able to do that. And so we get different messages about who we are. But the truth is that we are made in God's image and likeness, and we are precious in his sight, and he loves us. That's an important message regarding the Bible. It also tells us what we have. We say, I have what it says I have. That we have, as we open ourselves to Jesus and the infilling of his Holy Spirit, that we have the greater one inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And that as we move in that, and as we receive more and more of him through our openness and our yieldedness, through receiving him in the sacraments, through meditating on his word, we get more and more of him. It's not a one-time filling. As Father Dale likes to say, because sometimes we leak. And so, and y'all heard that before. And so we need more and more of the Holy Spirit. And so we have that when we're open to that. And we have total provision. Scripture says, you know, the Lord provides for all of our needs, no matter what your need is here today, whether it be a physical need, an emotional need, whether it be a need of your heart, whether it be any type of need, financial, anything at all, the Lord will provide for us. So we have everything we need. And we can do what it says we can do, because Jesus then commissions us. He sends us forth to do his work. He gave us his Holy Spirit. He didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us orphaned, Scripture says. So he gives us what we need, and we can do what he says we can do. Meaning, we can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Meaning, we can preach his word and bring the good news of the gospel message to other people, to friends, to family members, to co-workers, to neighbors, to those that we're standing in line at the Giant with, to all those people out there, that we can share that word with them. Amen? So that's why we should be, and I'm sure we are, excited about the Bible, excited about the word of God. It's not just a book that we really are incapable of understanding. It's not just a book of nice stories that were written years back for us to remember. It's the inspired word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus is that word made flesh. He became this word. So we're excited about this word because it gives us all that we need to move through life as Catholic Christians, to experience the kingdom of God here and now, to experience in our lives, to experience it in our church, to experience in our ministries. And why shouldn't we be excited about that? And he is just as alive and present to us when we open the scriptures, when we allow him to write the scriptures in our hearts, when we declare the scriptures, when we hear it proclaimed, like we did this morning, or like we do it at the celebration of the Eucharist, or any of the sacraments, when we get together to pray and someone shares the scriptures. He is just as alive and present to us as he is when we receive him in the gift of the Eucharist. Our church says it. Our Bible says it. And I believe it's true. Amen?
Amen.
So the fathers of the church in number 2 and the saints have all witnessed to the Bible. So what I just said, the early church fathers and the saints have witnessed to that as the main source of their life, understanding of God and his plan of salvation, and have commended the Bible to you and to me for meditation and for our Christian living and growth. That's why it's our, in our language today in 2004, it's our basic instruction before leaving earth. Okay. Now these two groups of people, as it says here, have great weight of authority for our life, meaning we can trust in that. We can take that to the bank. We can say, you know what, yes, maybe I haven't experienced that, but I believe that's true. Number three tells us that the Word of God in sacred scripture is essential to the celebration of the sacraments, including the Eucharist. The Word of God builds faith in our heart, in the heart of the believer, and leads us to encounter Christ in the Eucharist. Before we receive Jesus, before we receive Him, talking about the Eucharist, in the form of His body and blood, we hear that word proclaimed, don't we? That word prepares a way for us. It's like the word rolls out the carpet for us to go forth and to receive Jesus into our hearts, to receive Him in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. That's why the order of our celebration is as it is, that the word, the liturgy of the word, comes forth first, and then the priest comes forth then and breaks open that word, you know, and brings then, as Father Dale was talking about, the prophetic piece of that word that is meant to be taught to the people that he is preaching to and that are under his care. Isn't that a beautiful vision? So that we talked about the different parishes represented here, so that then your pastor, the way it's meant to happen, is to take that word into his heart, to meditate on that word, to study that word. That word is proclaimed then at the celebration of the Eucharist, whether that be a morning mass, whether that be a weekend mass. The celebration is the celebration, irregardless of what day it is. And then that word then is proclaimed. And then the priest at that church, who knows, is meant to know his flock and love his flock, prays over that word and asks the Lord for that rhema word. The rhema word is that word for today, for here and now. The scriptures are called the Logos word. And then the Logos, which would be the scriptures as we read them and study them in our Bibles, then has a message for us today. And so then the prophetic anointing is when that word for today is taken out of the scriptures and brought to the people. And that brings the celebration, you know, full circle. And it opens our heart then to come forth and to know that that word that we just heard, that word which is Jesus, the Word made flesh, I'm receiving now in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. The many ways that we receive Him when we come together, you know, through His Word and in Mass, through the Eucharist, through the praise of one another, through the two or more who are gathered. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Now, on page 13, I'm not going to read to you, so these paragraphs 131, 132, those are all things for your own personal, private reflection as, you know, we go from one month to the next. But I'm going to move down to number four when we're talking about why we are excited about the Bible. Number four says, the New Testament contains the apostolic preaching of the 12 apostles so that all may hear the gospel and be saved. It is the fulfillment. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament revelation and is the source of saving truth and moral teaching and to impart heavenly gifts. So that is what, and again, this is all coming out of the Second Vatican Council. We have the Old Testament. The New Testament then brings the Old Testament to fulfillment and is what we need, is the peace that we need, is the truth in our life with a capital T. Gospel of John says, you will know the truth. John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth is the Word of God. The truth is the Word of God in accordance with the sacred scriptures, in accordance with our church teachings. That is the truth. Father Dale brought up the whole many ways that people stand up and proclaim truth. One of the most recent is the New Age, the whole New Age movement. And so many people will say, but I believe this to be truth. Or they'll quote, you know, these famous authors or people that are well known, perhaps in the entertainment field, and say, but this person says it or that person says it, and therefore they believe it. People are deceived for lack of knowledge. Scripture says in Hosea that people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why this is so good, that we can break this open and discuss this together, because this is giving us knowledge that we need. And we need knowledge today because there's so much out there that claims to be truth, but is deceptive and deceiving people and bringing them into darkness rather into the light. The Word of God will always bring us into the light. Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light of the world. And we can rely on that, and we can believe that with all of our heart. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, and that's under number 4, you see that scripture in parentheses, says, all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us, through you and me. So all of the promises that we read, that we study about in scripture, all those promises that tell us that God will provide for us, those promises that say that God will save us, that God will comfort us, that God will heal us, that he will release his spirit within us. All those promises, the Bible is saying, are yes and amen, meaning it's true. Yes. The Lord is agreeing with that. Yes, that's what's happening. And so you can find that in the 2 Corinthians. Let me give you another scripture here. In 2 Corinthians 3, for if what is passing, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 11, for what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we have great boldness of speech. Scripture is telling us there that what preceded us and what we study about in here in the Old Testament was beautiful and glorious, but what we have now is even more so, because it's all been fulfilled and all been revealed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the power of his Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, it's pointing to the Word of God. It's pointing to who he is. It's pointing to his Word, telling us that he is our light. He is the light of our life. He is the light that we follow. He gives us all that we need. And number 5 says, in the sacred scriptures, we come into contact with the holiness and the truth of God. The Word has the power to heal us. It has the power to sanctify us, to free us, to cleanse us, and enlighten with eternal wisdom the believer. Again, that's taken from Second Vatican Council. So when we come together, then, when we come together such as we are today, we come together, then, for healing services. When we come together for First Thursday healing masses and so forth, that word has power that is issued forth. Psalm 107:20. In Psalm 107, yes, verse 20, one of my favorite scriptures. He sent forth his word to heal us and deliver us of all our destructions. Now, remember earlier we said, the word of God to us is yes and amen. So we take that scripture. He's going to send forth his word. He's sending forth his word of scripture. He's sending forth that prophetic utterance to heal us and deliver us of all of our destructions. So wherever we need healing, as we gather in any kind of a gathering of the two or more, and the word comes forth, we can be open then. Lord, you say you send forth your word. Bring healing to this part of my body that's hurting. You say you send forth your word to heal me. Bring healing to the sadness or the depression that I'm feeling. You send forth your word to heal. Heal me of any doubt or unbelief that's in my heart. That's how we take that word and bring it into that area that we need. And know, because the Lord says, and the church says, his word to us is yes and amen, that then in faith, then we believe that's happening. So again, what we do then at our healing masses, what we do at our healing services, flows right out of church teaching, flows right out of what Second Vatican II has encouraged us to do. It's that new beginning, that came out of the Magisterium of Church back at the Second Vatican Council. Some of us are a little bit longer getting in touch with it than others, but that's okay, because this is the time. This is the day. This is the time of new beginnings, so the Word says. And whatever I need to do, if it's miracles like putting water in the desert or roads in the wasteland, it doesn't matter. I will do it. Because I've chosen you for this time. I've chosen you. I've chosen you because you're my people, and I'm forming you to be a people of my praise. Amen?
Amen.
In James 1:20 it says, let every man or every woman be swift to hear. That means when the Word comes forth, we need to be open to receive it. Our attitude should be one of, you know, this is God speaking to me. This is His Word, not just, oh, another scripture from the Bible, and we just jot it down, maybe we might, maybe we won't, and then that's the end of it. We never look at that note again. Not that at all. Or maybe we highlight it in our Bible, and when we're fingering through, we might see that highlight, but you know, maybe that's as far as it goes. It will have as much effect, as much power in our life as we give it. It's meant to have the effect. It's meant to have the power. That's the Lord's plan, and that's His will. But like all things, He does not do anything against our will. He doesn't do anything against what we're open to and give Him permission to do. He's not going to come in and make it so if we don't invite Him in. So therefore, it's where knowing who He is and knowing His will and His plan for us, but then it's also saying, I'm going to hear the Word of the Lord today. We're getting ready, you know, for the Liturgy of the Word. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me your message through this Word, because I need to hear your Word, because your Word is like bread to my life. Your Word is like food to me. Your Word sustains me and helps me to grow. So speak that Word to me. And when we go expectant, we will hear. Okay. Number 6 says, in the Scriptures, God talks to us, just like we just talked about. In prayer, we talk to God. In the Scriptures, God speaks to us. We hear Him when we read the divine. And again, that's taken from Second Vatican Council. So we just talked about that. Our prayer, sometimes we make more of a prayer than it is. It's simply communicating with the Lord Jesus. It's not a right or a wrong way. We don't have to have a special format. Those things can help us, and if they work for you, that's wonderful. Whatever works, whatever enables us to speak to God and communicate with Him is a good thing. But don't feel like I'm not praying rightly or I'm praying the wrong way. Praying is simply talking to God, just like you would talk to someone that you know, just like you talk to members of your family that you love. You don't practice what you're going to say to them, do you? I mean, you don't think, well, my son's come today, so I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. You mean you just sit there and you just let it happen. And so when we meet with the Lord, we meet with the Lord each day, and we have that appointment with God that oftentimes we talk about, looking at it as like an appointment. And so we're going to show up because we know He's going to show up. But we don't want Him sitting there waiting, and we're not going to show up. So we're going to show up for our prayer time. And then we start to praise Him, and we start talking to Him about whatever it is that's going on in your life. You know, He wants to hear from you, just like we want to hear from our kids. No matter how old they are, we want them to share with us what's making them happy, what's making them sad, what they're worried about, how people are treating them at the office, you know, how they're doing with their relationships, you know, how they're doing as they're moving into manhood or into womanhood. We want them to share those things with us, don't we? And look, and doesn't it make it feel good when they do? And you can have that, and you move from that parent-child relationship to really being friends and confidants. Yeah, it's just a beautiful thing. And that's the way it is with the Lord. You know, He wants that relationship to be that and so much more, because He is perfect love. And as much as we love our folks and our kids, we're not perfect love. So, and the more we get to know Him, the easier it becomes, and the deeper then that communication becomes. But we all start someplace, and we all start at the beginning of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we start talking to Him through that. And as we get to know more of Him, and how do we get to know more of Him? We get to know more of him through his word, by knowing how he thinks, by knowing what he says, by knowing what his expectations are, by knowing what he thinks about us and what he wants from us. That's how we get to know him. It's real simple. And we are blessed as Catholic Christians because the word is brought in to all of our sacraments. All of the times that we gather and encounter him in the sacraments, the word is brought. The word is brought to us whenever we gather for prayer. And then we learn how to pray in accordance with that word. So then as we pray, we're also declaring the word. Number 7 says, as we put God's word on our lips and believe it in our hearts. Remember I said this morning, the word is to be in two places. That's when we held up our Bible, in our hearts and in our mouth. All right, when it's in our heart, it comes out of our mouth. People say what's in their hearts, for the good or the not so good. You all know that. You talk to people, you understand who the person is through what they say and how they articulate themselves and what they talk about. You know what's commanding their hearts. And so what's in our heart, we tend to speak out of our mouth. And so when we have the word, when we make deposits of the word, like going to the bank and making deposits in your heart, then when you need enough to hear the Lord and when you need to hear what that word is for you in a particular situation, it's like going to the bank and making a withdrawal. It's already there in your heart. And the Lord then raises it up and brings it forth for us. So as we do that, we grow in a renewed mind, how we think, how we perceive things. That is just so important because our mind is formed prior to really knowing Jesus personally and being led by his Holy Spirit. Our mind is formed by the things of the world. Our mind is formed by how we were raised. Our mind is formed by whatever teachings we would have up to this point. Our mind is formed by what's on the 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock news every night. CNN, the newspapers, all of those things out there forms how we think. Scripture says in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, do not be conformed to this age. So we're not to be formed or conformed to what the world is saying today, but be transformed, meaning that to whatever point we have conformed to this day, in September 2004, the Lord wants to transform us. He wants to turn it around. He wants to change us. He wants to form us according to his image and likeness. So do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed. And how do we get transformed? By the renewal of our minds. Changing how we think is what that means. By changing how we think so that we will know what is good and pleasing to Jesus Christ. So how do we change what we think? We change what we think by being excited about the word, by listening to the word as if it were Jesus standing here speaking to us, by planting that word in our hearts, by meditating on that word, by giving a different ear to it when you come to Mass, when you celebrate any of the sacraments, when we come together to pray. That's how our mind is renewed. As a Catholic people, we have been putting God's word on our lips. And this is how we confess it. Confessing it means just to say it. That's all. Sometimes we're so hooked into a confession or our going to confession and the sacrament of penance through confession and all that. Confession in the scriptures is talking about confessing it is saying it, saying God's word. For example, Matthew 6 teaches us how to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray when he taught us the Our Father. We pray that. We put his word that is in our heart, the prayer of the Our Father, on our lips, and we say that. In John 1:29, when John saw Jesus coming toward him, in John 1:29, Jesus said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We take that word, and we confess that word through the celebration of the Eucharist. And that's coming right out of John 1:29. The Liturgy of the Hours, where we prayed the Psalms. This morning, we prayed morning prayer. We saw how we were putting the word and we were placing that word on our lips. And then that word filled the environment and changed the environment, didn't it? Changed the environment, brought back down a presence of who the Lord is. The responsorial Psalms at Mass, when we pray the Psalm. When we say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, That's what the centurion said about his servant boy. Remember the centurion came to Jesus and the servant boy was so sick and he said, Jesus, you know, my boy is homesick. If you could heal him. And Jesus said, I'm going to come. And he said, you don't have to come. Only say the word. Only say the word. And my servant boy is going to be healed. And that's what we say. You know, Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the word. Why do we say only say the word? Because back in Psalm 107:20, it says, he sent forth his word to heal us and to deliver us of all of our destructions. So when we say that and remember that, the next time you're receiving the Eucharist, you know, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. Only say the word. Remember that he says, I'm sending it. I'm sending forth the word to heal you. It's going to deliver you of all your destructions and bring to him whatever the destruction of that moment in your life is, in whatever area it is. Okay. Father Dale, what would you like me to do here? It's 5 after 12. Go right to the questions. Okay. But I think next time I think this next part is really important because the next part is